Good morning. Today's daf in Megillah Tesvav. The schus of the learning this morning should be refuah shlema for Mordechai Nissen ben Reizel. He's going through surgery this morning, so he should have a full refuah shlema. The Gemara yesterday went through the Sheva Nevi'ah. So the reason why Gemara digressed to discuss the Sheva Nevi'ah yesterday is because of the removal of the ring of the king. So the king, the ring with the king was taken off, and in order to seal the fate of the Jewish people, Haman attempted to pay Achashverosh for this quote unquote zechus of exterminating the entire Jewish people. Achashverosh says, "Do me a favor, keep the money. We're good. It's mutually beneficial." And so they remove the ring, and the Gemara says that the removal of the ring was more powerful than the nevuah of the 48 Nevi'im and 7 Nevi'os. There are a lot more than 48 Nevi'im. Presumably, there are also more than Sheva Nevi'os, but that was the power of the Hasaras HaTaba'as. And the Gemara says, as long as we mention that there are Sheva Nevi'os, so let's go ahead and let's spell it out. So yesterday's daf, a good part of yesterday's daf, so we went through the Sheva Nevi'os. One of the Sheva Nevi'os is Chulda. So the Gemara now just has one final word on Chulda. I'm Rav Nachman. So we could be found right now on Yudal Med Beis. It's about 7-8 lines from the bottom of the Amud. It's the last three words in the line, I'm Rav Nachman. So Amar Rav Nachman Chulda Mnei Banav Shal Yoshua Isa. So she's a descendant of Yoshua. Dichsiv Hacha. And the Gemara now is going to note a couple of psukim that give it away. So pasukim Malachim, where it describes Chulda as being a ben harachas, and Dichsiv Hacha, and it says over there in Shoftim, describing Yoshua Betimnas Cheres. Okay, so you hear the word two times. That it's connected, and the Gemara assumes that Chulda is a descendant of Yoshua. Eisvei Rav Enos Abba Rav Nachman. So the following question was being posed: Shmona Neviim Heim Veheim Kohanim Yatsu Mei Rachav Azona. So there are eight Neviim. They also happen to be Kohanim, and they descend from Rachav. In a moment, we all know the answer. Meaning, right now, the Gemara is quote unquote unaware of the fact that Rachav and Yoshua are married. Okay, but once you know that, you don't even understand the question. But we're just going to reverse it. Meaning, we don't know that right now. So the question is: I thought they came from Rachav, not from Yoshua. And they are Velohein and Neria, Baruch, Usraya, Machsaya, Yirmiyahu, Chilkiyahu, Chanamel, Shalom, Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Afchulda, Nevi'im, Mimnei Baneo, Shol, Rachav, Azona, Isa. Diksiv Hacha, Ben Tikva, Uksiv Hasam, Ez Tikva, Chut, Hashani. Again, the similarity between two psukim tell us that Chulda, in addition to other Nevi'im as well, are descendants of Rachav. So Amalei, so Rav Nachman says, Zayna Saba. V'amrila pasya uchma. Pasya uchma is a term of endearment. Anyway, Rav Nachman says, good. So mineu minach tisayim shmaita di gara v'nas b'Yoshua. So not a question, meaning the answer is very simple. I have a tradition that Chulda descends from Yoshua. You have a tradition that Chulda said descends from Rachav. So what? Fantastic. Let's take our two traditions, put them together. And that is Yoshua and Rachav got married. Umi havalei zar le Yoshua. And the Gemara says, now, did Yoshua have any children? So v'aksiv. The Gemara says, but I don't understand. But I don't understand. The Pasuk in Devar Hayamim, when describing the Yichus of Yoshua, it says, Nun beno Yoshua beno. So Bani lo ha, I'm sorry, that's the answer already. So in Devar Hayamim, it describes Yoshua as being the end of the line. There was Nun, there was Yoshua, and that's it. So the Gemara says, Bani lo have bantan havale. So the Gemara says, okay, he didn't have sons, but he did have daughters. And so the Pasuk in Devar Hayamim is only being Mesiaches the sons, but he had daughters. And eventually what ended up happening is that the daughters married. Now, by the way, it makes perfect sense that he had daughters because Rachav is a GRS. And so what we read just moments earlier is that what descended from him were Nevi'im who also were Kohanim. So right, how do you have a Kohen come from a GRS? The answer is that later generations, meaning the daughters married, And eventually what ended up happening is that Kohanim got into the family, right? Anyway. Bishlam inu mefarshe. So the Gemara says that of those that we listed, we know that they were Nevi'im. We have psukim that identify they were Nevi'im. Four of the eight that we mentioned. But ela avasaya minala. But how do I know that also the fathers that were mentioned as well also are Nevi'im as well? Meaning we don't have any beferish psukim. So the Gemara says Kedula. The Gemara says, nah, it's pretty clear that even the fathers were Nevi'im as well. How do I know that? Amar Ula. Kol makom sheshmo v'shem aviv ben Nevi'os biyadu shu navi ben navi. So if someone is being introduced to us in Tanakh and their name is being mentioned and the father's name is being mentioned, So rest assured of the fact that he's a Navi and his father's a Navi as well. If, however, when a Navi is introduced in Tanakh, where he's mentioned but his father's not mentioned, it's because he's the first in the lineage that is a Navi. His father's not a Navi. If his name is mentioned and where he comes from, fine. So that means to say that he's a Navi from that town. Now that's obvious. It's setting us up for the next point, which is Shmo v'lo shem iro, that if you mention the name of the Navi, but not where he comes from, so be adu shum Yerushalayim. So the default location of where the Naviim are coming from, Yerushalayim. So if they don't mention where they come from, so you could, now you know they come from Yerushalayim because that's where most of the Naviim come from. And if not, so the Navi will tell us otherwise. Mimasnisa Tana, Gemara quotes, Ebraisa kosha maisa v'maisa v'avosav sesumim. So if his actions are mentioned, but the actions of his fathers are not, however, if we know of the lineage that's mentioned in Tanakh, if we know one of them, so and it's l'shavach, and it happens to be that one of them that is being mentioned is for praise, the Gemara gives us an example. Kigon, Dvar Hashem Asher Ya El Tzafanya Ben Kushi Ben Gedalia. So Biyadushu Tzadik Ben Tzadik. So now you know that by the Tanakh ascribing the lineage of this person, that person, that person, and one of them we know for sure, shvach. That means that we can associate that with the rest of them that are mentioned. Yishmael ben Nesanya ben Elishama. So biyadush Rasha ben Rasha, and it works in the opposite direction as well. Meaning the Gemara gives us an example as well in Yirmiyahu, where we know for sure Yishmael. So no good. Yishmael was the one who assassinated Gedaliah ben Achikam. So three others are mentioned in that pasuk. So we're going to say the same thing, that the others are Rishayim as well. I'm Rav Nachman Malachi, the identity of Malachi. Malachi is one of the last of the Nevi'im. That we know for sure. Who is his identity? Now, it could just simply be that Malachi is none other than Malachi. Okay, in other words, there is that possibility, but the Gemara has a Mesorah, at least has multiple Mesorahs in terms of who is his identity. So I'm Rav Nachman, Malachi is a Mordechai. So one Mesorah is that Malachi is none other than Mordechai. V'lam nikra shma Malachi shaya Mishnah Lamelech, because he's Mishnah Lamelech. Now it's almost like a play on words, meaning Malachi is an adjective, it's not his proper name, and it's because Mordechai assumed a really high position. He's like a Malach. I understand it's not the same word, but it's similar. So, Meitzvei, the Gemara says, okay, but I'm ready to challenge. And that is based on the following brisa: Baruch Meneria, Suraya ben Maasayu, and Daniel and Mordechai Bilshan, Vechaga, Zechariah Malachi, Kulan Nisnavu Bishashtayim, Lida Yavesh. So we're going to assemble together a whole bunch of Nevi'im, a whole group of Nevi'im, who were prophesizing in the second year of Daryavish. And we say Daryavish over here, we probably mean the second one, meaning the one that actually built the second base of Mikdash, or didn't build it, but allowed for the building of the second base of Mikdash. Anyway, but the point, of course, is that in this list, you have both Malachi and you have Mordechai as well. So if we're listing and they're the same person, it can't be. Tiyufta. So the Gemara says, okay, your point was excellent. And we move on. We just simply can't defend the idea that Malachi is Mordechai. Okay, so if he's not Mordechai, so then who is he? Tanya. Gemara quotes now another brisa. I'm Rabbi Yeshua ben Karach Malachi Zu Ezra, that it's none other than Ezra, v'chachamim omri Malachi Shmo. And the chachamim say, no, you know who Malachi is? Malachi is Malachi. Okay. I'm Rav Nachman, Yitzhak Mistaba Kamanda Amar, Malachi Zu Ezra. So Rav Nachman is going to side with the position that Malachi is Ezra, Dechsiv ben Nevias Malachi, because look at the Navi, we're now actually reading from Sefer Malachi. Right, it's part of Treyasar. So, Bagda Yehuda v'Soevan Esabi Yisrael v'Shalaim Ki Chilal Yehuda Kodesh Hashem Asher Ahev U'Ba'al Bas El Nechar. So, one of the things that Malachi did is that he gave muster to the people, because what they did is they married non-Jewish women, right? We've gone over this point numerous times throughout Shas. It's a pasuk in Navi. It's a very clear pasuk in Navi that when they came back into Eretz Yisrael to build the second base of Mikdash, so the people that came back were not the most religious of people. And they married non-Jewish women. And the Navi, now we're reading Sefer Malachi, so we'll say in just a moment. The Navi Malachi is the one who is trying to get everyone to divorce their non-Jewish wives. And Uman Afrish Nashim Nachrios. Now we also know that there was another Navi who basically made that as one of his top agenda issues, and that's Ezra. And Dechsev, and now the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Sefer Ezra. Here, the 10th parak. Vayan Shechanya ben Yechiel mimnei Elam v'yomer le'Ezra nachnu ma'alnu be'eloheinu v'noshev nashim nachrios. And so here the Navi's telling us that the people recognize that what they did is wrong, meaning we shouldn't have married non-Jewish women. We made a mistake. Okay, and so what the Gemara is assuming, in other words, you could have just easily said that there was more than one Navi who was interested in the men divorcing their non-Jewish wives. You could have said that. But the Gemara over here is assuming a certain theory of conservation, which is that it's the same person. Right? If Malachi is putting this as a top agenda item, and Ezra's doing it as well, so Malachi and Ezra are one and the same person. Okay.
Does Rav Bachman think that Ezra and Mordechai are the same person?
No. So in other words, that position... Oh, I see. Right. Could you defend such a position? Probably not. Meaning, first of all, it's my lack of Tanakh right now. In other words, probably they're both mentioned in the same pasuk, right? Yeah, in other words, correct. In other words, you have to go back and he'll reject the previous assumptions. Tanu Rabbanan, we aren't as Vav Amud Aleph. We're about a quarter of the way down. Tanu Rabbanan, Arba Nashim Yafefios, there are four of the most beautiful women in history. Yesterday's daf, seven Nevios. Today's daf, four of the most beautiful women in history. Hayaba Olam. Not clear why the Gemara is giving us this information, meaning to what purpose, to what ends do we need to know this? And some suggest that just Kadosh Baruch Hu and his creations, and as part of his creation, so he creates Yofi, and it's obviously everyone recognizes it. And so the Gemara over here lists and counts these women. Okay, but still, that's an explanation. But whatever. I don't have a great explanation. Anyway, Arba Nashim Yafefios Hayaba Olam. And they are Sarah, Avigal, Rachel, Esther, Laman, Da'amar, Esther, Yerach, Rokas, Aisa. Now, Esther made the list, but the Gemara says, yeah, but remember, just a couple days ago, we pointed out that she was discolored. And it's hard to imagine that she's making it to the top four. So the Gemara says, so Mapik Esther, Mayo Vashti. So the Gemara says, fine. So take out Esther and replace her with Vashti. Tanu Rabbanan, Rachel, Vishma, Zinsa. So this Gemara over here, We went over this Gemara not so long ago. We saw this back in Tanis. So as far as Rachav is concerned, so Bishma Zinsa, meaning just mentioning of her name is going to bring about a certain taiva. Ya'al b'kola, Ya'al if you hear her voice. Avigail b'zechira sa, just mentioning Avigail, and Michal b'shol b'riya sa. And by looking at Michal b'shol, meaning other beautiful women as well. Amrav Yitzchak Amar Rachav Ya Nikre. Again, we saw this back in Tanis. Here we get to see it again. You mentioned Rachav. You mentioned it two times. So a man will have a discharge. The Gemara says, Amalei Rav Nachman. Ana amina Rachav alo ichbali. Rav Nachman says, I don't understand. It's not empirical. So Amalei ki kamina biyoda uvemakira. So Rav Yitzchak says to Rav Nachman, no, you have to know her. Tosfos back in Tanis made a curious comment. He said, not just know her, but know her. Okay. With innuendo intended. So the but back to our Gemara. Okay, we're going back to the Megillah, and again, just this is the general outline of the Gemara that we've been doing now since Daf Yud, and we're in day five, meaning this is Daf Tesvaven. So we have been darshaning the Megillah. So we start at the beginning, and the first parak, most of the pesukim, the first parak we darshan, second parak, third parak already we started jumping around. Meaning, when I say jumping around, we're still going in the order of the psukim, but skipping a lot of psukim and just only picking its spots in terms of which psukim we have particular drushes to. And so now we're already here in the fourth parak of the Megillah. So daf tesvav. So we are, today's daf, we're going to be doing a little bit of the fourth, a little bit of the fifth, and that'll be it for today. And tomorrow we'll touch on the sixth parak of the Megillah. So Mordechai yidas kol asher na'asa, and then the pasuk goes on to describe v'yisei b'sochayir v'yizak ze'aka gedola umara. Okay. So Mordechai now discovers, in other words, in the third parak, so Haman does the lottery, goes to Achashverosh, they scheme together to annihilate the entire Jewish people. Letters were signed, letters were distributed. Mordechai learns about it, and he cries out. So, but that's all we get from the Megillah, is that he cries out. But what does he say? So that's our Gemara. our Gemara is going to now fill in the details. My Amar. So Rav Amar Gava Haman Me'achashverosh. So according to Rav, so what Mordechai was saying was that Haman is worse than Achashverosh. Meaning Achashverosh certainly has a hatred towards the Jewish people, but no way Achashverosh on his own would exterminate the entire Jewish people. This idea is coming from Haman. Haman's even a worse anti-Semite than Achashverosh. Shmuel Amar Gavra Malka Ilam Mimaka Tasa. And for Shmuel, so the Za'akah of Mordechai was that the Malka Ilah, the kingdom above, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so is greater than the kingdom, than the lower kingdom. And Rashi says that this is a euphemism. And really the intent is over here, flip it around. Meaning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously wants to protect us down here. So they're anti-Semites who want to destroy us. And it seems, this is what Mordechai is saying, and it seems that right now, down here, they have the upper hand over Shemayim. That's the way Rashi understands the Gemara. The Gemara over here is meant as a euphemism. We are now further into the fourth parak of the Megillah. This is the fourth pasuk. So as far as Esther is concerned, when Esther hears about the cry of Mordechai, so vatizchachal, which the simple pshat you would say is that she was trembling. She was terrified. And the Gemara says, "My vatizchachal amarav shapir sanita Rabbi Yirmi amar shehutz rechol nekaveha." So the Amoraim suggest two different pshatim, but they're basically the similar idea. And that she lost certain control of her, either according to the first pshat, she started menstruating. According to the second pshat, she actually lost control of her, right? Either her bowels or she urinated. Now, she's going to be dialoguing with Mordechai. Mordechai is outside the palace. She's in the palace, so they're going to use the middleman. The middleman they're using is a personality in the Megillah who is identified as Hasach. That's his name. So I'm Rav, Hasach Zu Daniel. So according to Rav, Hasach and Daniel are one and the same. V'lam nikra shmo Hasach, and the reason why it's called Hasach is be one of two possibilities. So according to Rav, Chatchua Migdulaso, because he was cut down from his Gedula. Daniel, at one point in time, had a really prominent position in the politic body. Rashi over here cites a couple of psukim, where he was big in the court of Belshazzar. He was big in the court of Daryavesh. But as far as Achashverosh, for whatever reason, had no need for Daniel. And so basically, he was cut out of the government, of the current government. That's one possibility. And the word Hasach from the word Chatchua, he was cut off. And Shmuel Amar Shekol Divrei Machos Nechatchen Alpiv. And Shmuel goes in the other direction. No, in other words, Hasach, because everything was cut by his words, meaning he was the decider. He was in the executive position. And just the opposite. I mean, Shmuel's going in the other direction. Not only was he not cut out of the Achashverosh government, but he was the big voice in the Achashverosh government. It begs the question, according to Shmuel, if he's such a big deal in the Achashverosh government, so then how is he allowing it? Okay. And I don't have a wonderful answer, but certainly something to think about and ponder. We are still in
Daniel, one of the prophets mentioned, I don't think it was one of the prophets mentioned in the 48
The Gemara didn't go through the 48. Rashi went through the 48. He's one. He's one of them. He's a whole sefer dedicated to Daniel. We are now in the fifth perek. We're in the fifth pasuk of the fourth perek. So, at the beginning of the pasuk, which the Gemara doesn't quote, "Vatikra Esther la'asach, v'tetzaveh al-Mordechai la'das mazeh v'amazeh." So, and so now this is a communication going from Esther to Mordechai. And what does that mean? La'das mazeh v'amazeh. Again, simple pshat is, like, what's going on? That's a simple pshat. But the Gemara here darshins. I'm Rav Yitzchak Shachulo, Shema Avri Yisrael, Al Chamisha Chum Sheitar Dichsi Bahem, Mizeh Mizehim Ksuvim. So Esther's trying to understand, why is it that the Jews are looking at annihilation, or they're violating the whole Torah? And over here, the Zeh and Zeh is a description of the Luchos. And what the Gemara is assuming over here is that the Luchos really is a concentrated form of the entire Torah. And that is that she's now thinking that the Jewish people are violating the entire Torah. So fast forward now in the fourth parak of the Megillah. This is now already the 12th pasuk. And basically, so Mordechai says to Esther, you need to go confront the king. And her first reaction to that is, no, thank you. All right. Terrible idea. I'm not going to do it. And over here in the pasuk, as it relates, it says "Vayagidu l'Mordechai es Divrei Esther." Now, it's somebody relates this to Mordechai, but it wasn't Hasach. Because if it were Asach, it would say Vayagid or something along those lines. What's Vayagidu? V'ilu ihu. The Gemara picks up on that. V'ilu ihu lo azalagabe. Hasach didn't go in, give this information to Mordechai. Somebody else did. So mikan shem shivan al kakala. So that means to say that if you have bad news, somebody let somebody else give it. Now, if everyone followed this rule, so then nobody would be giving it. Okay, but in other words, but lesson learned, however, and that is don't be the one that's so quick to be giving out the bad news, right? Esther's refusing. The Jewish people are looking at extermination. She doesn't want to go. Hasach is basically teaching us, let somebody else share that information with Mordechai. Okay, but the a little more back and forth. Finally, Esther's convinced that this is the right strategy. And so she says, fine, I'll do it, but we need to fast. So everybody needs to fast for 3 consecutive days. Lech Kenos is called Ayudim. And then Ad Asher Lo Chadas. So basically now, right, just in other words, cover those psukim. And it ends with the words Asher Lo Chadas. And I'm going to do something that's wildly inappropriate. Now, what is she going to do that's wildly inappropriate? So the Gemara, Lo Chadas literally means, like, I'm not going to be religious, right? The dati, so to say. But it means I'm going to do something that's wildly inappropriate. So I'm Rabbi Abba, Shalom Kedas, Shebechol Yom Yaman Achshav, Be'ones V'Achshav, Beratzon. Because up until this point in time, so I was with Achashverosh, but Ones. In other words, I wasn't an active participant. In fact, just the opposite. I was a passive participant. I was forced. But now, so for me to go ahead and to make a request, it also means that she's going to use her femininity. And she's going to, she's going to be willingly with Achashverosh. And that is where she's going to be wildly inappropriate. Chasher avarati avarati. So, and then the perek ends with the words chasher avarati avarati. Kashem shavarati mi beis ava kach avan mimech. In other words, and because of that, now I'm going to be asked to you. The Gemara here is connected to what we learned in yesterday's daf, meaning that not only were Mordechai and Esther married, but they continued their relationship even after she went into the palace. So that was a really striking comment of the Gemara yesterday. And over here now that she's going to go in Beratzo, now she's going to be willingly with another man. So that's going to forbid her to Mordechai. A really, really lengthy discussion to be had over here. We're not going to have it, but the just highlight, and that is that, so what she did now is that she consorted with another man. In other words, she's married, and now she's willingly consorting with another man to save the Jewish people. So you have 2 really strong competing values over here. One is adultery, and the other one, of course, is the saving of the entire Jewish people. And so, and the only thing that our Gemara is teaching us is that she's going to be forbidden to her husband. But the Gemara not for a moment discusses the propriety or the impropriety of her being with another man. Meaning it's just, the Gemara only is focusing on the result of that action, but the Gemara is not discussing whether or not what she did was proper or not proper. Okay, so, just right, put a note in here, right? In other words, much to discuss regarding, right, whether what she did was right or not right. We'd love to assume what she did is right, meaning otherwise, why would the Megillah be reporting it? And the Gemara not even commenting on it. However, adultery obviously is a really, really, right? It's Yahar, thank you. It's Yahar Gval
Yavor. But the Gemara before said, as a praise of Achshverosh, that he didn't have relation during the day.
Okay.
So she went to see him during the day. She didn't go to yet.
Okay, I hear you, but the Gemara over here clearly understands that she's soliciting him. I hear you, but the Gemara over here could not be any clearer. Vayavor Mordechai. This is now the last pasuk of the 4th parak of the Megillah. Vayavor Mordechai, and the pasuk goes on. Vayask echol asher tzivasa alav Esther, and Amarav. So what does it mean? Vayavor Mordechai, right? He passed over. What does that mean? Gemara here is going to offer 2 pshatim. Amarav she'ever yom rishon shal Pesach besanis. So it was the first day of Pesach. Remember, the lottery came out on the 13th day of Nisan, and now there were 3 days of fasting. So even if we're going to assume that day 1 of fasting was the 13th, so that's the 13th, 14th, and now the 15th day of Nisan. So basically what she's telling Mordechai is, I need everyone to fast up to and including the first day of Pesach. Now, the first day of Pesach, so there are a lot of mitzvos, even without the Beis HaMikdash, right? We're familiar. One of them is to eat matzah. And basically what she's saying is, look, we're talking about now we're looking at the possibility of the destruction of the entire Jewish people. And we need to fast right now. It's necessary. And that's why Yavor Mordechai. The first pshat is that Mordechai said, okay, So we're going to negate the mitzvah sayom because obviously we're looking at the at saving the entire Jewish people. That's one possibility. Shmuel Amar David Arkuma Demaya. Shmuel gives another pshat, and that is Vayavor. He had to pass through. In other words, there was some water that he had to wade through in order to get from point A to point B. Not much detail is given. But anyway, Vayavor just simply talks about, it's describing him going through the water. Okay. And what body of water we're talking about, really not much more detail. Vayhi Bayam HaShishi V'Tilbash Ester Machos. Okay, that is now the end of the fourth paragraph of the Megillah. Now, we begin the fifth paragraph of the Megillah, and we're now describing her going and confronting Achashverosh. And it's on the third day of Vayhi Bayam HaShishi. And we know, of course, because we just went through the previous paragraph. So in other words, it's the third day of fasting. So Vayhi Bayam HaShishi V'Tilbash Ester Machos. So now, Big Day Machos Mibayilei. Now, hopefully this sounds familiar because we already did this drasha on yesterday's daf, 2 days ago. So what is it? No, yesterday's stuff. So what does it mean that Big Day Malchus? It should say Big Day Malchus. It doesn't. It simply says Vatil Bashester Malchus. I'm Rabbi Lazar. I'm Rabbi Chanina. Malam Shel Lavashta Ruach Hakodesh Nichsev Hachav Tobash Uksev Hasam Veruach Lavsha Es Amasai. The Malchus over here is a reference to Ruach Hakodesh. And that's what she's doing. In other words, she at this point in time now has the Ruach HaKodesh necessary to go in and to properly intercede on behalf of the Jewish people. Am Rabbi Lazar, Am Rabbi Chanina. Okay. The Gemara has the following drash, Lo Lamati Birchas Hejo Kala Beinecha. We previously quoted Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Chanina in the previous drasha. So the Gemara now is going to be giving us a whole series of other memras that were said, not connected anymore with our drashas. In other words, the Gemara does what it does. It's going to go off on a bit of a tangent, but the connective thread, the connective tissue over here, it's the same Baal Memra. So, Am Rabbi Lazar, Am Rabbi Chanina, Lo Lamati Birchas Hejo Kala Beinecha. When you get a bracha, even if it's from somebody who you think is not so important, don't take the bracha lightly. Sha'arei Shnei Gedolei Ador, Birchum Shnei Ajotos, V'Nizkayim Abahem. So we're going to give two examples of someone who received a bracha from somebody who, quote-unquote, was a hejot. And meanwhile, the brachas came true. Ve'elohein David Daniel. So David the bracha Aravna. So as far as David is concerned, so he received a bracha from Aravna. So Aravna was from Yavusi, and he's the one that sold the plot of land to David in terms of building the Beis HaMikdash. Dichsiv. Vayom Aravna Lamelech. So, and the pasuk goes on to basically the bracha of Aravna. And the bracha was in fact Niskayim, meaning that there was a magifa and the magifa stopped. Okay. And Daniel, debrachna Daryavish. Now Daniel received a bracha from Daryavish. It's interesting, by the way. Daryavish in the context of this limud is being described as a hedgehog. Okay. But, obviously we're talking about a king. But in the context of hedgehog, we probably mean over here somebody who is not, you know, is not a Yerushamayim or whatever. So dichsev elahach di ant plach lebe sidasa hu yishes vinach. So Daniel is about to be sent into the lion's den, and so he received a bracha from Daryavish, right? Kadosh Baruch Hu should save you, and that's what happened. Amar Rabbi Lazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina, alti kilas hejo kala beinecha. And now we're going to do the same thing, but we're going to go in the other direction. And that if a hejo gives you a klala, so again, don't take it lightly. Sharei Avimelch kilal esara. We know that Avimelech gave a klala to Sarah. Hinehu lach suseinayim. So after the debacle of Avimelech taking Sarah into his palace and now then recognizing, right, after being told by Kadosh Baruch Hu that somebody else's wife, so he brings her back to Avram and he says, Harehu lach suseinayim, with some payment, and it should be for suseinayim. Now, a lot of ways to explain what that means, but the Gemara over here understands that it's a klala, meaning Avimelech was really upset, and he gave a curse, and the v'niskayim bezare, and vayhi ki zaken yitzchak v'tichahena einav, and so that klala, so it took a generation, but in other words, but the ksus einayim, the covering of the eyes, so that was manifest by Yitzchak, who was unable to see later in his life. Amar Rabbi Lazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina. So again, same ba memra, so another limud. Barish lo kimidas akarish baruchu midas basav adam, midas basav adam. Adam shofes, kedera, ve'achakach nosin lesocha mayim, avakarish baruchu nosin mayim, ve'achakach shofes kedera. Lekayim ha'shenemra, lekol tito hamon mayim, Bashamayim. So, right, just quick translation. So generally speaking, so when we boil a pot of water, so first we need a pot, and then we put the water in the pot. Kadosh Baruch Hu, so he does not operate in that manner when he created the heavens and the earth. So when he created the heaven, so first he had the mayim, in other words, the water was just there, standing, perpetuating air, and afterwards then he created this entity called Shamayim that's holding the water up there. Okay. Amar Rabbi Lazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Kol Amar Davar B'Shem Omra, Mevi Geula L'Olam. Another memra of Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Chanina, this is probably the most popular of the memras of Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Chanina, and that is that you say something B'Shem Omra. So you do not take credit for something that you said, but you give proper attribution, proper credit to where it belongs. You heard it from someone. You quote that person. So that brings about the Geula. So Shenemra, Vatomer Estela, Melch B'Shem Mordechai. Now it happens to be that this memra also is relevant to the Megillah. But it's not, in other words, we're already now darshing the fifth parak, and this takes us back to the third parak. But the idea over here is that with proper attribution, you're going to bring about the Geula. And many, many different explanations that I've heard over the years in terms of why that is. But in other words, but right now, the proof that it's so is that Mordechai said, Esther, when reporting about the assassination attempt, she said, you know, I heard this from Mordechai. Mordechai was given credit. And then we know that the story continued where Balailahu Nadadash Nasamelech, and now he's reading the Divrei Zichronos, and oh yeah, that's right, Mordechai saved the king. Oh, I have to do something for Mordechai. So all that was because Esther quoted it, B'Shem Omro. So I brought about the Geula. Amar Rabbi Lazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Tzadik Avad, Ledoro Avad. When you lose a Tzadik, when a Tzadik dies in this world, so the entire generation loses it as well, meaning it's a loss for the whole generation. But specifically that generation. Mashal Adam Sha'avdalo Margalis, Kol Makom Shihi, Margalis Shema, V'lo Avda Ella Labala. Meaning that when somebody loses a precious stone itself is not lost, meaning the precious stone is there. Just right now, it's the owner of the precious stone who is suffering the loss. And same thing when the tzaddik leaves the world. The tzaddik is the tzaddik. That's fine. The loss is being felt by the generation. Okay, we are now back to the Megillah. We're in the fifth parak and we're in Pasuk Yud Gimel. So Haman is, on one hand, really encouraged. Haman just met with Esther and with Ahasuerus. She had a private party that was made. And meanwhile, he's walking home. He passes by Mordechai and he says, Chosei Nene Shoveli. Anytime I see Mordechai, so I lose it. Even though this could have been one of the best days of my life, but V'chosei. Amar Rabbi Lazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina. So he passes Mordechai and he says, just because he passes by Mordechai, meaning, right, a little bit of common sense, meaning, okay, you passed by Mordechai. You had a great day. So, as we turn now to the top of the next Amud, Seba Pruzbuti. Now that's a term which is strange, but we're all familiar with it. Pruzbul. So Pruzbul is a document that's written for the lender. So the lender over here, is Mordechai, right? The Pruzbul, bull means the wealthy person. Pruzbut is the poor person. The poor person over here is coming to us in the form of Haman. And that means to say that there was a previous, previous incident that included both Haman and Mordechai, where basically Haman needed money. Mordechai was in a position where basically he lent Haman money. All this was documented. So when he passed by, when Haman passed by Mordechai, he was only reminded that at one point in time, Mordechai was in a position where he lent to Haman. And that's V'chozeh Einenu Shoveli. Amar Papa V'karulei, Avda D'mizdabim B'tameh. As a result of this financial arrangement that happened earlier, so whenever people saw Haman, they always described him as the Eved that was sold for bread. In other words, Haman was so destitute at one point historically that Mordechai lent him money so that he could buy bread. Okay, so this passing by of Mordechai reminded him how historically not only was he poor, but not only that, but basically he was a subject to Mordechai, at least in the past. Once again, we're still on the same pasuk. So he had a balance sheet. Haman had a balance sheet that he carried with him all the time. And when the pasuk says chol zeh, so this is a common theme that comes out throughout Shas. The word zeh is pointing to something. There's some physical manifestation. So v'chol zeh einenu shaveli, this is not worth it to me. What's this that he's pointing to? His balance sheet. He walked around it with all the time. He basically had a personal statement that he carried around with him all the time. So shekol gnazav shalosu rasha chakukin al libo, and v'sha shiroh as Mordechai yoshev b'shar ha-melech. So amar kol zeh einenu shaveli. And when he passes by Mordechai, so he points to his personal statement and he says, you know what? Right, I know I'm worth a lot, but chol zeh einenu shaveli. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina, she'asid HaKadosh Baruch Hu lios atara b'rosh kol tzadik v'tzadik. Eventually, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be a crown for every tzadik, she'nemar. Now the Gemara is going to be quoting a pasuk in Yeshayahu in the 28th parak, and the Gemara is going to be darshaning a lot from this parak. So b'yom ha'yi Hashem tzvakos la'tar tzvi, and the Gemara now is going to be quoting and breaking up the pasuk and explaining what exactly the pasuk is making reference to. So when the pasuk says "My la'ateretz v'lutzifiras tifara," so the Gemara goes on to describe la'osin sivyono la'metzapin tifarto. Anyone who does the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and looks for the Yeshua, so for that individual he will be crowned. So yachol akol, everyone's going to receive this crown. So tamalamar l'sha'ar amo. So it's only going to be for those people who are make themselves off like they're the leftovers, meaning people who are humble. The pasuk goes on to describe, this is still the pasuk in Yeshayahu. So ularuch mishpat, meaning if you look at the pasuk inside, so you will see that the Gemara is just simply continuing in this pasuk. Ularuch mishpat. Ze'adan es yitzro. So the person who is judging his own yetzer. And basically the person is a baal tshuva. Uli Yoshev al Hamishpad, so Zedan din emes lamito. So this is referring to a judge who does a good judgment, a correct judgment. Uli Gvura, Zemes Gabriel Yitzro, somebody who is able to subjugate his own Yitzhara. Mishive Mechama, so it's a reference to Shinosim Nosim Mecham Toshatara, the people that are engaged in the study of Torah, which is always described as a Mechama. In other words, they're fighting. In other words, everyone has a position, and as long as they sincerely feel that their position is correct, they fight for that position. That's Mecham Toshat Torah. And Sha'ara, Elo Tamid Chachamim, Shemashkim Ma'arivim, Bebati Kinesis, Bebati Medrashos. And in the gates, it's referring to Tamid Chachamim, who are first ones in the base measures, last ones to leave. Amra, and again, this is still continuation of that pasuk, of the Psukim in Yeshayahu. It's all in the 28th Perek. Amra Midas Adin, Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shel Olam, Ma Nishtanu Eilu Me'eilu. What's the difference between these and these? Meaning, why are these particular people receiving this crown? So, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yisrael Asku B'Torah, Umas Olam Asku B'Torah. The Jewish people are Osek B'Torah. So, Amar Lei, so, now, who's saying this to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Let's assume it's Midas Adin. So, Gam Eilu B'Yayin Shagu V'Shecher Ta'u. And Paku Palila. And so again, this, if you know the Psukim in Yeshayahu, which unfortunately I don't, but if you know the Psukim, so these are all part of the Psukim. So, but what do you mean? I know they're studying Torah, but they're also drinking wine as well. And they're becoming intoxicated and they're stumbling. Ain Paku Ela Gehenim, and Paku is more than just stumbling. The Gemara says it's a reference to Gehenim Shenemar, Velosia Zos Lacha Lifuka. Now it happens to be that we just covered this Pasuk in Shmuel. This is Shmuel Aleph. This is where Avigal says to David HaMelech, don't stumble. Meaning that David had a temptation for Avigal, and Avigal says, nope, you're not stumbling. Now, if you remember, the Gemara earlier said, Veloyis Yezos Lecha Lefuka. Right now, you're not going to stumble this time. Meaning, but she knows through Nevuah, there will be another occasion in which he stumbles, but we covered that already in the Gemara earlier. The Ein Pelila Ela Dayanim. Pelila is a reference to Dayanim Shenemar, Venasam Biflilim. Meaning the person is going to be judged harshly. For even though if the person studies Torah, but if he's becoming intoxicated on a regular basis, so that's no good. Okay, we are going back to the Megillah. Okay, so over here, I'm a little bit confused only because for the first time, we seem to be going backwards, meaning we are already into the fifth parak, but we're going back now to the beginning of the fifth parak. V'atamor b'chatzar beis ha-melech ha-penimis, I'm Rabbi Levi. Kevin shigil ha-beis ha-tzlamim, nistaka emen ha-shechina. So she is headed in that direction, but she is passing by idolatry, meaning we're assuming now that in the entrance to get to Achashverosh, so there's a whole bunch of idolatry, and so at that point in time, she had Ruach HaKodesh, she lost the Ruach HaKodesh. So Amra Kele Kele Lama Zaftani. And so here again in this Masechta, we go back to the 22nd parak of Tehillim. The 22nd parak of Tehillim is associated with Esther. And right, even though David HaMelech was the author, but it's Nevuah. And so the entire 22nd parak is a reference to Esther. But now we now know that towards the beginning of that parak, this is the second pasuk of the 22nd parak, Kele Kele Lama Zaftani, Kadosh Baruch Hu, why did you leave me? So now, as we read that pasuk, we can now picture the scene of her going into the palace to Achashverosh and her losing her Ruach HaKodesh. Shema Atadan Al Shoge Kemezin Ve'al Ones Keratzon Oshema Al Shekarasiv Kelev. So, and she's trying to understand why is it that I'm losing the Shekhinah. So it could very well be so maybe it could be that that I'm no longer coming in bonus. In other words, now it's bemazin, it's beratzon. Oshema al shekarati kelev, or maybe it's because at one point in time I described Achashverosh as being a dog. Shenemar atzila mecherev nafshi. Also in the 22nd parak of Tehillim. Hatzila mecherev nafshi miyad kelev yichidasi. Okay. And now we're understanding that this pasuk over here is a reference to what Esther once upon a time described Achashverosh, describing him as a dog. Chazor v'karaso aryeh. And now, so instead of a dog, now she gives him the proper acknowledgement and respect, and she describes him as a lion. Shenamar, well, this too also is in the 22nd parak. Hoshieni mipi aryeh. Save me from the lion. Meaning she realizes that it's right, that what she is combating right now is a really powerful force. Now, when Achashverosh sees Esther, so I'm Rav Yochanan Shoshan Malach Esher's Nizdam Nola, but also Sha'a. So at this point now, Esther is understandably starving. She's exhausted. She just went 3 days fasting. And so she does not look her best when she's presenting herself to the king. And so what Rav Yochanan says is that she got divine help. And not only did she get divine help, she got angelic help as well. Three malachim helped her at that point in time. Literally propped her up. So echad sheigbiya savara, one lifted her neck, echad shemasha chut shel chesed aleha, another one gave her a chut shel chesed, and finally the third, the echad shemasa chesed shavit, and one that extended the staff of Achashverosh, because the only people that he's going to allow in is that the ones he extended the staff to, and they helped with that extension. Okay, so basically, she got a lot of help at that point in time, a lot of divine help. Vikama. Now, this is Agadata at its finest, meaning the Gemara now is going to talk about the numeric length, the linear measurement of the staff in terms of how long it was extended. So here, as you can imagine, so for those who are darshaning the Agadata, like this one over here, so there is great significance to the numbers that are given. Unfortunately, with me, you're not going to hear it, but they just acknowledging the fact that obviously these numbers are all meant to communicate certain ideas. It was two amos, ve'amido al shtei misrei, meaning normally it's two amos, extended 12 amos. Ve'amrile al shesh misrei, 16 amos. Ve'amrile al asrim v'arba, 24 amos. Ve'masnisa tana, shishim, 60 amos. Ve'chena tamotze, ve'amsa shaparo. Also, another extension that we know midrashically is the arms of Bas Paro. Ve'chena tamotze, b'shina v'shaim. And also the teeth of Rishayim also get extended as well. The Gemara here is making a reference to a Gemara we did back in Brachos. So you remember Og lifted the mountain over his head in order to throw it on the Jewish people. What happened was is that the ants made holes in the mountain and basically went over the head of Og. Now Og wanted to take the mountain and lift off his head. And what happened was is that his teeth were extended, locking the mountain over his head. Okay, Dechsiv, Shina Rishim Shibarta, Amr Shlakish, Altikre Shibarta, Ela Sheri Vavta. Rabba bar Ufan Amra Mishim Rabba Lazar, Sheshama Mirabba Virabba Mirabbo Masayim. The Gemara is not finished. The Gemara has one more opinion regarding the distance in which the Sharvit HaZahav extended. So the Gemara has a Masorah that extended 200 Amas. Vayomala Malach Malach Esther Maka Ma Bakashasecha Chasi Amachus Viseas. So now the third pasuk of the fifth parak of the Megillah. So when Achashverosh now sees Esther and now he is definitely interested in appeasing his wife. So he offers her up to half of the Malchus. So Chasi Amachus Velo Kol Amachus. So the Gemara over here makes the obvious diuk, and that is that only half, but nothing more than half. So where is he drawing the line? So velo davar shechotzeis lamachus. Where he's drawing the line is not something which is going to divide his kingdom. Umaynihu binyan beis hamikdash. Meaning, basically saying to her is that you can ask me anything you want. Here's what you're not going to ask me. Don't ask me to rebuild the beis hamikdash. Okay. And we also know based on other midrashim that Achashverosh was the one responsible for the stopping of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. His predecessor was Koresh. Koresh, remember, we just talked about him recently in the Gemara. He was, quote-unquote, the Mashiach, meaning that was a description that was given to Koresh because he gave permission for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And so his predecessor was the one who started the building of the Beis HaMikdash. What happened? It stopped. Who stopped it? So we know, based on other midrashim, it was Achashverosh who stopped it. And so basically now, as Esther comes in and she's about to petition, and he's ready to give almost into anything she asked for. So what the Gemara is now understanding is that the Pasuk is intimating to us is that, yeah, I'll give you almost anything you want. Just don't ask me for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. That is off limits. Okay. Now, we're going to pause over here because Yavo HaMelech VeHaman. So the next thing we're going to be discussing that really goes into tomorrow's daf is that she now has the floor. And what does she ask for? So do me a favor. I'd like to make a party, and I'd like to invite you to a party. So that is a really strange maneuver. What an interesting play in her playbook. And what the Gemara is going to be discussing at length, that's where we're starting tomorrow, is exactly what is she trying to do? What's behind the play? What's her strategy? So we start with that tomorrow. The Gemara is going to be giving us many different opinions on that particular issue. Okay, let's try to summarize today's daf. That's not easy. Really, really not easy. Okay, but anyway, so we started with Chulda this morning. Just a couple of other words of Chulda regarding her genealogy. She goes back to Yehoshua and Rachav genealogically. Trying to identify the identities of various Nevi'im, notably Malachi. So who is Malachi? So one possibility is that he is Malachi. But the Gemara entertains other possibilities is that maybe he's Mordechai, maybe he's Ezra. Okay, other possibilities. We started darshing the fourth parak of the Megillah, that was Tesvav Amid Aleph, and we continue doing so into Tesvav Amid Beis, and then we started darshing the fifth parak of the Megillah, where she goes in, she loses her nevuah as she goes in, Keli Keli Lama Zavtani, and then she gets propped up by the Malachim as she goes, and finally the confrontation with her and Achashverosh is ready to offer Ad Chatzi Amachus. So, and we learn what exactly is he drawing, where is he drawing the line? Binyan Beis HaMikdash, and what is the request? The request is that he come to a party that she's making that very day, and we continue tomorrow.